It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
Socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, and water. What it means is that government controls it through rules and regulations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
Under this guise of bipartisanship and nonpartisanship, it's actually tapped down the truth.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
On an equal field in the battle of ideas, mistruths or misconceptions, and it is getting us into a world of hurt.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation. I am Kim Munson. Welcome to the Kim Munson Show. We've got a great show planned for you today. We are going to be talking about the election, this first segment. And second segment, Britta Horn, who she's... I think she's the former Rout County Treasurer, if I remember right. She is going to be calling in regarding this organization called Building a Better Colorado. She and I both had a most interesting experience with this group, and you will not want to miss that because there is some, an agenda and some deception that went on there, and you will not want to miss that. And then Merlin Klotz, who is the Douglas County Clerk and Recorder, will be with us the third and fourth segment. And we will be talking about how elections work, because you will probably be getting your ballot within the next few days in your mailbox. And as we look at these issues, as freedom versus force or force versus freedom. And socialism ultimately comes down to force. It is never compassionate to take other people's rights, their property, or their freedom via force, whether it's with a weapon, policy, or unpredictable and excessive taxation. We continue to see the socialization through regulation and taxation of transportation, education, energy, housing, water, broadband, and data. And these are all things that enhance our lives if they are performed properly. And government should only be involved in these different things if it is absolutely that the private sector cannot do that. And so we need to continue to push back on this big regulatory state that continues to get bigger and bigger, and they want more and more of our money. As we talk about these issues, though, I want to say thank you to producer Steve, to Patty, Keith, Zach, and Charlie for your support and your good work. Steve, your favorite day, Monday. How are you doing this morning?
Besides the fact that it's a Monday, and we all know what that means, and then the whirlwind trip back to Pennsylvania... And the joy of traveling, such that it is, it's just a great day.
It is a great day. And you got to go back to Pennsylvania. Although I got the text message, you missed your flight on that very snowy day. So that had to be an adventure.
Yes, hats off to Southwest Airlines. They did a good job. I mean, it wasn't their fault that people couldn't get to the airport. And we did a whirlwind tour of the United States. We went from Denver to Kansas City to St. Louis, and then finally on to Philadelphia, and arrived at a destination at 1 o'clock in the morning.
You know, you were worried about getting there during rush hour. Be careful.
Not a problem.
Careful what you wish for. So, okay, and thank you to each of you listeners there. You are treasured. You're valued. You have a purpose. Strive for excellence. And every day, do something to improve heart, soul, mind, and body. And be sure and check out my website. That is Kim Munson. That's MONSON.com. You can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com. Podcasts of the shows are available there as well. So our inspiration for today is from George Mason. This is from the Virginia Declaration of Rights in May 1776. George Mason IV was an American planter, politician, and delegate to the U.S. Constitutional Convention of 1787. He was one of three delegates who refused to sign the Constitution. His writings included substantial portions of the Fairfax Resolves of 1774, the Virginia Declaration of Rights in 1776, and his objections to the Constitution of Government opposing ratification. He had exercised a significant influence on American political thought and events. The Virginia Declaration of Rights, which Mason principally authored, served as a basis for the United States Bill of Rights, of which he was deemed the father. Now, Steve, you know, as I do these inspirations, I think a little history is okay. Are you enjoying that? Is that helpful every day?
Absolutely. And then you put the put to in your mind how long ago the words were spoken, 100 years or something, very easily could be 100 years, and yet the relevancy is still incredibly high.
Okay, well, with this, I think you're going to like this. George Mason said in 1776 that all men are born equally free and independent and have certain inherent natural rights. Among them are enjoying life and liberty, which means the acquiring and possessing of property and the pursuing of happiness and safety. And that is George Mason. And then our funnies for today, since it is election season, here we go. It says, talking to a Denver Boulder elite is like trying to explain social media to a 70-year-old.
That's good.
Number two, I don't approve of political jokes. I've seen too many of them get elected.
That's very good.
And politicians, bureaucrats, and diapers have one thing in common. They should be changed regularly and for the same reason. And with that, I am working on my voter's guide. I actually hoped that I would have that to Zach last night, and I actually had it all ready, and then I didn't hit save, so I have to redo that this morning.
We need to send you back to Computer 101. Well, what was the issue last week?
Yeah, well, I spilled water on my computer.
Yeah, water and computers don't mix.
Yes, because I have a new computer, and I think that's the problem, is I think that I didn't hit the right button. So that will be coming out later today or first thing tomorrow morning.
What's the expression? Jesus saves and so should you?
Yeah, this is true. But with that, I will go ahead and tell you where I'm at on all of this. On Proposition CC, which is the statewide issue regarding PBIs, politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties, getting to keep our Tabor refunds forever, the answer on that is no. Now, there are two different kinds of refunds, and I want to be clear. There is the refund that after you do your Colorado taxes, that you may either owe taxes, maybe you're even, which that is perfect, or you may be getting a refund back. This is not what we're talking about. What we are talking about is under the Taxpayer Bill of Rights, there's really three components. And the first is if PBIs, politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties want to raise our taxes, they just have to have the good manners to ask us. The second component of this is if PBIs want to incur debt that we have to pay off, again, they just have to ask us. Third, the component is to keep the growth of government in check. And so the Taxpayers' Bill of Rights says government, PBIs, you can actually grow government by inflation plus population. And Steve, that seems fair to me, because you have both inflation and population. And anything, any revenues that are above that cap, you just have to ask us if you want to keep that. And what this Proposition CC does is says that they will no longer have to ask us if they want to keep those revenues. And the PBIs have been very active in trying to undercut Tabor. We've seen that with the redefinition of the word fee, or taxes to fees, because fees are not included in the Taxpayer Bill of Rights. So this is another way for them to receive revenue. It's the same thing as a tax, but they just changed the word, which I think is very dishonest. Another way to do that is we saw this back in 2017 when they moved the hospital provider fee off of the kind of the calculation for the Tabor revenue refunds, and they just moved that offline. So that took out about $680 million, I think, in 2017, that they just did not have to include that when they were determining whether or not they needed to give our money back. And then thirdly, as Patty has researched out here, there's been a significant corporate welfare program here in Colorado. And we want to note that each of these businesses that we're discussing are successful companies. And our point is that these companies do not need government money to maintain their success. We believe that the free market should stand alone without any government interference. It's better to cut taxes across the board without any preferential treatment for chosen companies that allows the government to pick winners and losers. So if you need another reason to vote no on Proposition CC, we are highlighting millions of them, and they're all related to corporate welfare. If the state needs more money, why are tax incentives and credits, grants, and et cetera, given to corporations? According to Good Jobs First Colorado Tracker, the Colorado Office of Economic Development and International Trade, through the Enterprise Zone program, offered 27 separate tax credit incentive packages to La Prino Foods, which is the family-owned business and largest producer of mozzarella cheese in the world. They received over $14 million during the years 2011 to 2017. La Prino was also offered a grant of $1.2 million in 2010 from the state and received training reimbursement in 2012 of $62,000, a little over $62,000 through the Colorado First Training Program. La Prino accepted these offerings for a total of over $15 million. And the question is why is government, you know, giving out these goodies instead of cutting rules, regulations, and taxes across the board so that other companies would also have the benefits of more money in their pocket to make sure that their businesses succeed? Steve, you look like you have a thought.
Well, I'm just trying to imagine the closed-door meetings where these different entities who are giving up the tax, you know, money to these large corporations are saying, all right, we can afford to do this because we can get that money somewhere else. And where is the somewhere else?
It is from everyday hardworking Coloradans, and you see them asking for that in Proposition CC right now. The other thing on Prop DD, and we'll talk more about that, and that is this this question on whether or not to bring sports betting into Colorado, or sports online betting, I guess it is, into Colorado. And what they're saying is the money is going to be used for water. And water is so important. We have ranchers. There's a number of, I think, the Farm Bureau, the Colorado Cattlemen's Association, a variety of different organizations that are very active in rural Colorado, which I have a deep love for rural Colorado. And they're screaming, we want to make sure that we get our water issues taken care of. And so we come in, the PBIs come in, they say, hey, you know what, why don't we do some sports betting in connection with, let's see here, I don't have it exactly what it is, but it's sports betting. So I took a look at it. It was House Bill 19-1327 that was referred to the ballot. First reason you would vote no, Steve, I have it in my hand, it's 37 pages long. Okay? That would be, it's longer than the Declaration of Independence. So that would be the first reason. The second reason is they are trying to sell this as doing something with water, and I think it's that it'll raise $27 million. That's a pittance when you compare all the money that's being spent over here on corporate welfare. But the last thing is the whole water issue is at the bottom of the barrel regarding revenues. They set up this new bureaucratic commission. They fund it. They give them car allowances. You know, there's like five things that happen there. And then money goes to the Colorado Historical Society. And then money goes to this new water thing that they're putting together. So because of that, the answer is no. There's deception involved in this.
I would say, okay, we all know the popularity of Facebook. And these entities behind CC and DD, they know it too. The amount of half-truths that are out there right now on Facebook, it's incredible. And I would submit to you that a half-truth is just as good as a lie. And it just makes me ill to think that people are going to be seeing this. Like, oh, well, who would not vote for CC?
Yeah. And there's a lot of deception in that. We're going to go to break because when we come back, Britta Horn is on the line. And she and I both had an experience with this group called Building a Better Colorado. You will not want to miss what happened there. This is Kim Munson. You're listening to The Kim Munson Show. We'll be right back.
At Hooters, you can watch the games with all your buddies. And when your buddies are the world-famous Hooters girls, there's always plenty of ice-cold beer and those craveable wings that'll knock your taste buds into next Tuesday. Hooters girls know plenty about football, but we really know the fans who live for it. So hang out with all your buddies all season long at Hooters, your official hangout for game day.
Catch all the games at Hooters and enjoy a Butter Bud Light draft with 10 boneless wings, just $10. Dine for two with the pitcher and nachos, just $20.
Don't miss Vino and Veritas, Wine and Truth, a study of the Federalist Papers. Join Kim Munson at Water's Edge Winery in Centennial or Colorado Cork and Keg in Castle Rock. In Fort Collins, attend Vino and Veritas at Ginger and Baker. Kim Munson would like to thank Presidential Wealth Management Loveland, Presidential Wealth Management Greenwood Village, Tina Francone with Straightforward Shooting, and Grand Lake U.S. Constitution Week for their generous support. support. Vino and Veritas, Wine and Truth, a study of the Federalist Papers. Sign up today.
A reverse mortgage can be an important financial tool for individuals 62 and older. It is essential to understand the process so that all of your questions are answered. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy, Polygon Financial Group, has the experience to answer your questions. Lauren knows that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage or with rates down, explore options to remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup.
Hey, that's what the state of Colorado says, that they're running on empty. But you know what? As we really look at the numbers, they're not. But they want to ask for more of our money through Proposition CC, which I am a hard no on that, a hard no on DD. And then on all of these local issues, I was going through all of those. And if any of these ballot questions start with without raising taxes, or if when you look at the body of the question, it refers to keeping revenues above, let's see, I think it's Article 10, and you'll just see, you know, the X, which is a 10 in the Constitution. I would say no, because all of that is detabering. They are asking to keep those refunds forever as well. So I have Britta Horn on the line. Good morning, Britta.
Good morning. Thanks for having me, Kim.
Great to have you. And you are famous, and I actually am having some... It's just one of those computer mornings I'm having trouble accessing. And you, weren't you the Rout County Treasurer?
I was, yeah, for 6 years, for a term and a half. I filled somebody's term, and then I was elected the next time.
Okay, and then also, you are like one of the mucky mucks with the fire chiefs as well, aren't you?
Oh, thanks. I'm the treasurer of the state fire chiefs because I'm a volunteer fire chief for here locally, halfway between Steamboat and Vail, for Rock Creek Volunteer Fire Department.
Okay, great. Well, you and I both had an experience with this group called Building a Better Colorado. And basically, it is being sold to the public, I think also to even some people on the board, as a nonpartisan group that wants to have a conversation about issues in Colorado to build a better Colorado. But I found that there was actually some manipulation, some deception in the whole thing. In my experience, I actually went to two of the meetings. I've listened to another meeting that was recorded. And I felt that, in fact, it was very, you know, that it was really trying to move people towards a preconceived outcome. And you and I had a conversation about it. So why don't I got how I feel about it out there. What do you think, Britta?
Oh, absolutely. And I want to give you, you know, kudos to saying you are absolutely right, Kim. And if you need to record that, I'll say it again. You're absolutely right.
I'm going to tell my family that you said that, okay?
But actually, you're right, because it came across as, you know, we were being courted. We were being, you know, please come join us. You know, we're a non-advocacy organization. You know, we're nonpartisan. We will take no position. And of course, when you're being asked these questions, and will you join, and will you be part of the conversation, you definitely, as a conservative, you're like, oh my gosh, we could finally go. We could feel like we can represent and have a say in what, you know, what we really need to say about Colorado. And so you go to these meetings, and they did the same thing, and you're listening to it, and you're like, this sounds great. But then, you know, you're ushered in, and then you get a name tag. And then you're told on the name tag which table to go to. It's all pre-picked. And then there's these clickers. So when you're sitting there, all of a sudden they're going through the whole program really fast and at a real quick pace and asking all these questions and what do you feel about this and what do you feel about that, and you have to click, click, click. So it's anonymous in that sense, but yet you're watching all the numbers and the data kind of being really heavy-laden to very liberal, very, you know, data that would support, you know, like you said, spending money. And spending all our treasure here in Colorado. And you're just like, this doesn't seem right. But you keep going, and you keep going, because, oh, you know, we're nonpartisan. We're not taking a position on any of this. Don't worry, don't worry. You go to the state meeting, and it's in the middle of the day, and you have to drive to Denver for it. And they don't pay you to go to it. You know, this is to get your voice out and to be heard. And you're watching again, you're just like, this is different. This is different. There's a certain category of people there. They're leaders, and who you think are leaders. They always ask you to bring more of the thinkers of your community, the thought leaders of your community. And then they put out a report, and they're saying, we like what they're doing with CC, and so we're going to ask you if it's okay in an email to send your information over to the pro CC people so they can contact you, because we're going to take a position.
And that is the thing that I think at that point, Britta, you really got very frustrated at that. So we'd been told this was nonpartisan, that we really wanted to have a conversation about making Colorado better. Of course, when you talk about these clickers, there were predetermined answers really as well. And so you would get to a consensus at the table. And I've got this great quote. Let me find it if I have it from Maggie Thatcher. I had it in this letter and now I can't find it. But she said consensus basically stands for nothing. Oh, here we go. She said, Maggie Thatcher said, consensus, the process of abandoning all beliefs, principles, values, and policies in search of something that no one believes, to which no one objects, the process of avoiding the very issues that have to be solved merely because you cannot get agreement on the way ahead. What great cause would have been fought and won under the banner, I stand for consensus. But that consensus, it's already, from what I could see, was already predetermined. There's no way to know if, in fact, your clicker really did register your vote. But when that report came out then from Building Better Colorado, guess what? You know, it looked like we needed to have bigger government and more taxes in order to, quote unquote, build a better Colorado. I wanted to say, how about let's build better Coloradans? How about let's let everyday hardworking individuals keep more money in their pocket and see what they can do? And I think that's, and you know, Britta, you live out in the Steamboat area, and you know the rugged Colorado spirit, that individual spirit that is inherent in the Colorado idea. And that is antithetical to this agenda that's being pushed forward by Building a Better Colorado and Prop CC.
Exactly. You know, you want to have your voice be heard, and you feel like you have a platform to say that, your own. And then to find out that, like you said, the data got manipulated and the questions that were asked were so skewed so you couldn't really dig into the answer. And so when I received that email, I mean, I was more than frustrated. I was more than, you know, because I felt manipulated. I was getting really fired up. I felt, really, I don't know how else to say it, I felt had. I was like, what did I just be a part of?
Well, and the other thing that is, it was strategically, diabolically brilliant about this is, first of all, what they did with Building Better Colorado is they reached out to elected officials throughout the, or people that they perceived as leaders in their community, and really flattered them. And I know what it's, you know, flattering, it's kind of nice. You know, I hate to admit it. They say, you are thought leaders. We want to hear your voice. Come to this meeting. So the first meeting is bringing these folks in and then saying, who else do you know who, and you're sitting at a table, who else do you know should be sitting at the table? And at that point in time, everybody at the table would give a thumbs up or a thumbs down, which I thought, that is kind of antithetical to freedom. Don't we want to hear everybody's voices?
Right.
And so then they are creating this big bank of names with, and you're supposed to provide emails and phone numbers. So they are data gathering. And it's very significant, and they're saying, we want other thought leaders just like you. And so they gather all this data, and then guess what? As you mentioned, they said, we're nonpartisan, we're not taking a stand. And then I got the email as well, hey, we're going to share your contact information with the pro-CC folks, and if you don't want us to do that, you know, you need to opt out. And it was very apparent then that this was not nonpartisan and that they were not taking a stand. It's very partisan, and they were taking a stand. And unfortunately, as you look at the board, I think that there are some very well-respected Republicans that are on the board that I'm think just like you, that they probably listen to nonpartisan, we're not taking a stand. And, you know, it's important that we shed the light on this, Britta. So I really appreciate you coming on the line and doing that this morning.
I really appreciate it, too. It's a great time to be able to just say, again, just like Steve said earlier, these half-truths, these are straight-up lies. And there's nothing that even what I felt was people wanted to do with this group to get to this point where we're, you know, they're pro-CC and then taking a position.
Okay. And Britta, any other final thoughts before we go to Jason McBride?
Real quickly, I just want to say that when you were saying about the thought leaders and electeds and who you thought, there was such a big void and vacuum of real Coloradoans, people who had to work during the day and couldn't make that meeting, that needed the meeting to be at nighttime, needed to have babysitting, needed to have access to even public transportation to get there. It was a very well handpicked group.
And the other point on that is those people that couldn't be there are the ones that are going to be hit the hardest with Prop CC.
Exactly.
Okay. Britta Horn, the treasurer of the Fire Chiefs of Colorado, as well as former Rauch County treasurer, thank you so much.
Thanks you very much. Talk to you later.
Okay, definitely. And Jason McBride is on the line, and I don't know if I should put what you put there, Steve. You said Jason the troublemaker. Jason, what are you doing this Monday morning?
Oh, not much. I'm just wondering, after hearing about these meetings, did you guys' heads feel weird or anything? I mean, I'm thinking about our delegates down in Cuba that were being brainwashed with sound waves. I mean, do you have any strange headaches or anything after you left that meeting, Kim?
Well,
I'm worried about you.
I did have a headache because, Jason, when I was on city council back in 2015, 2016, this group was active. And it was one of the first things that I'm looking at it and I'm hearing what they're saying. And I'm like, I smell a rat. But, you know, I was still relatively new to this whole political thing. And I'm like, well, I don't know what I'm talking about. But fast forward it to now, to understand just what happened, they use something called the Delphi technique, where they basically control the outcome of what happens in the room, but it makes everybody think that they actually contributed. And so I did ask a question. I asked several questions, and I made a comment about how important I thought Tabor was. Now, bear in mind, we're in a room where they're saying, we want to hear your voices. We want to hear your voices. And I said, well, I think Tabor's a really good idea, the Taxpayer Bill of Rights, because it keeps government in check. It keeps it transparent and responsible. And Reeves Brown, the facilitator, who was the former, he was the department, the chair of the Department of Local Affairs under the Hickenlooper administration, says, oh, we can't really talk about that right now because we've got to stay on schedule. And so it was just so interesting to watch this whole thing play out, Jason. But enough about that. Like Britta and I could probably talk for another, you know, a couple of segments on how frustrating that was. But wanted to ask you, people are getting older, Medicare. You probably get some questions on Medicare over at Presidential Wealth Management, don't you, Jason?
Well, we do, and we get more because open enrollment starts tomorrow and goes through December 7th. So this is the time of year when people are adjusting their plans, their supplements, their D, all that. But a couple of the questions that we get a lot is about, if you don't take your Medicare Part B at age 65, what happens? Because everyone's heard about this penalty, and there can be a penalty if you don't take it. But if you're covered under a group plan that covers at least 20 people, you're not required to take Medicare Part B at age 65. And that could be even if you're retired, and let's say your spouse is still working, Kim, and he or she is covered under a plan at work, which you're also covered under, then you're not required to take Medicare Part B.
Okay. But what about if you're not taking Social Security, can you still get Medicare?
You know, that's another question we get a lot, because Medicare is administered through the Social Security Administration, but it's not connected to Social Security in a, you know, proper way. So the answer is you do not have to start taking your Social Security benefits in order to receive Medicare. The only difference is, instead of them deducting your Medicare premiums, out of your Social Security payments. You're just going to have to write a check for those Medicare premiums every month or every quarter.
Okay, well, thank you for clarifying that. You know, as we talk, Jason, there's so many different things to navigate through to make sure that you're optimizing your own personal economic well-being. And I know that you and all the folks over there at Presidential Wealth Management, that is what you do. And so I would highly recommend that people sit down with you, do a discovery session. I know that if folks are in a good spot, you'll say great. And if there's some things that can be tweaked or some changes that can be made to optimize their economic well-being, I know that you'll help them with that as well.
Well, that's true. And we don't use the Delphi technique.
That's good. That's good. So, hey, at 7:30, Natalie will be at the switchboard. And so give Jason and John Buckingham a call over there at Presidential Wealth Management. The phone number is 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. And Lauren Levy is there as well, and he is a specialist in mortgages, whether or not it's a conventional or a reverse. And again, that phone number is 303-694-1600. Jason, thanks so much. We'll talk. Actually, we're going to talk to you tomorrow. You are going to be in studio tomorrow as my guest host.
Yes, you're making me get up really early, Kim, but it's worth it. You're worth it. There's some flattery for you.
Yes, I needed that this morning, Jason. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning.
Have a great show.
Thanks so much. We're going to go to break. I have on the line Merlin Klotz. He is the Douglas County Clerk and Recorder. And I thought, let's talk about elections. And then Merlin said, Kim, why don't you come out and see what, you know, just see how it all works. So I ran out to the elections division in Douglas County. I think it was either Thursday or Friday. And it was really fascinating. And Merlin is running a tip-top organization out there. So we'll go to break. When we come back, lots of great information to you for you because your ballot will be arriving within the next few days.
Are you looking for news, not propaganda? Ready for a news source you can actually trust? How about a news site that doesn't want to sell you a subscription? Visit CompleteColorado.com to see all the latest news from around Colorado. Complete Colorado's staff scours news sources from around the state and nation to bring you only the top stories that affect you right here in our great state. Updated three times a day, CompleteColorado.com has full-time reporters doing original investigations and reporting like newspapers used to do, as well as opinion and political commentary from a variety of Colorado voices. And CompleteColorado.com is the only place to read columnist Mike Rosen. Always fresh content, always free, always informed. CompleteColorado.com, your complete source for Colorado news.
You want to succeed, so you need to dress for the job, event, or relationship that you seek. For more than 30 years, entrepreneur and stylist Kim Munson has been helping women look their very best. And guys, Kim can help you with made-to-measure shirts that fit great and you'll love to wear. Guys and gals, if you want to up your game, freshen your look, email kim@kimmunson.com for your initial style consult. Kim@kimmunson.com.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. It is kimmunson.com. That's MONSON.com. Thrilled to have on the line with me Merlin Klotz. He is the Douglas County Clerk and Recorder. Merlin, welcome to the show.
Kim, glad to be here. Hey, I just want to say thank you for coming out and paying us a visit. I offer a tour to 1,000 people and 10 will show up. But it's transparency, and it's seeing how it sticks together and what makes it work and what keeps us, our elections so secure. You kind of have to see it to get your arms around it. So thank you for coming out.
Well, thank you for the invitation. And you actually answered a number of questions for me, Merlin, because I'd been concerned about a variety of things. But let's start at what's going to happen for that everyday hardworking person here in Colorado. What is going to happen this week regarding their ballots?
Okay, ballots are at the post office right now. I believe post office is closed today for a holiday. But we have legally this week to get ballots out, but we try and get them out the first possible day. But there are so few printers that can print ballots And there is such a concentrated timeline that there are situations like in the 2 years ago, or like last year, where we got behind Boulder, who had two or three page ballot in getting them printed, and you needed all that week to get them delivered. But they're at the printers or at the post office today, and you should be seeing them in your mailbox shortly.
Now, that is for Douglas County. Is that the case for all of the other counties as well?
Yes. Colorado, all counties in Colorado operate under the same rules and very consistent across the state. Our processes are as alike as they can be. Colorado is unique in that we are the model for elections across the country by the experts, Federal Elections Commission, Homeland Security. They all point to Colorado as the model. The reason for that is severalfold. One is our central voter registration database. Many, many states, most states, the registrations are maintained at a county level, and periodically they may be uploaded to a state database. Ours are all real-time at the state. So if you move from county to county, there isn't a risk of you being able to vote in two different counties. Another piece is the all-paper ballot. Paper ballot is auditable, and many states are still using the old electronic cards that in the voting machines. And when I voted on some of those machines back in Iowa and Ohio, I was never really certain that what I put in the machine is what went out on the electronic card. With the paper ballot, what you see is what you get. Even the ADA equipment that Douglas County uses and other counties are being forced to use shortly will print out a ballot identical to the ones that we mail out. And so, again, it's audible. You can, even the ADA people, your disability, whether it's hearing or sight, can print out the ballot and it can be confirmed that that is what they actually voted. And the other factor is the all-mail ballot. That all-mail ballot says that everybody who is eligible to vote gets a ballot in the mail. And consequently, you have 2 weeks or so to sit down and contemplate in a kitchen table what you want to vote for. It's not 15 minutes in a polling place going eeny, meeny, miny, mo, checking off boxes. And we have right now less than 3.5% in an 18 election that actually voted in person. 83% returned their ballots by Dropbox, and 12% mailed them in. And the Dropbox number is going up dramatically. In fact, the Dropbox number, yeah, go ahead.
Well, and to that point, though, and I have to say, after being out at the Elections Division in Douglas County, regarding the integrity of the election, I feel very comfortable with that, Merlin. But my editorial comment here is we as voters, you are doing your job as the clerk and recorder in making sure that everything is done well. But we as voters need to understand the issues. And instead of just listening to the sound bites or our neighbor, I highly recommend that you do your own research on that. Now, I am going to be publishing my voter's guide either later today or tomorrow morning on my recommendations, and I will make an honest assessment of why I am recommending such things, and then not trying to influence, but to provide information so that people can make their decision. But if you do not understand an issue, I think you as a voter, you have a responsibility either to understand it or to not vote on that issue, because the right to vote is a sacred responsibility. And you, Merlin Klotz, the Douglas County Clerk and Recorder, realize that, and you're doing a great job in making sure that those ballots are honored and secured and counted. So on that, go ahead, Merlin.
Yeah, that's, we all have our personal opinions, and I would sure love to share mine, but since I'm counting the votes, I don't have that opportunity to be real vocal on my opinions. But to your point, you look behind the intent, what is the driving force, for example, in CC and DD? Is it the fact that we want to have sports betting in the state, or is the driving force the candy that's held out there is what they want to use it for? And look at what is the driving force and what's the intent? And just be careful that you're not buying the candy just to get somebody else's wants.
Okay.
So
I know you have to be very careful about what you say on that, Merlin. And then regarding candidates, I do not weigh in on candidates. But I would highly recommend, again, you know, check them out. Give them a call. See what they really stand for. You know, ask them how they feel about taxes and rules and regulations, and that'll give you an idea on where they stand on that. But let's go back to what you do. And that is how, you know, you will receive the ballots. And, oh, I know, there was one other question that I wanted to ask, and then we'll go to break, and then we'll come back. And that is the coordinated election. When we moved to the all-male ballot, you would see these little special districts. Then, you know, they would have an election, I guess, before the mail-in ballots, and then you'd have the city, and then you'd have the county, and people didn't know where to go or what to do exactly. And that seems to be coming more simple. Is that correct?
Oh, by far. In fact, we went to the all-male ballot in 2013, and in that year we had 36 contests on the ballot. Now, not everybody had all contests, but we at the clerk's office were 36 contests. Last year we had 83 contests on the ballot, and what happens is it becomes much more convenient, much more cost-effective for the municipalities to coordinate with us. We're talking one postage bill for many municipalities in the county versus each of them having either a semi-private in-person ballot box or else a mail ballot that's cost them a lot of money individually. By coordinating, it just makes sense. It's more efficient to go that way. And it's evolved with the convenience of the all-mail ballot.
And I have gone through and was looking at the issues on all of the Front Range counties. And so what I've seen then is that they're, like, for example, Douglas County will have the state questions, if there was a, then the county questions, and then the people that live in Parker would get those, as well as the questions regarding Parker. Or those that would be in Castle Rock would get the state, the county, and then they would get the issues for Castle Rock. And are you adding the special districts as well?
Okay. I personally sponsored a bill, or drove a bill. I didn't sponsor, but I drove a bill. It took 4 years to move special district elections from the even year to the odd year. And I think there's going to be an effort this year to allow special districts to go to the general election in November as well.
Because currently they're in May, is that right?
They're in May currently.
Okay.
And the reason we tried to get them to the odd year and off the even year was so that the clerks had the bandwidth to support them. For example, we're looking right now at four back-to-back elections, the November election, the March presidential primary, the June regular primary, and the November primary, or November general election next year. And we have to turn in our election plans 120 days before the election. So, and it takes 30 days to prepare those election plans. So that means we're working right now on the election plans for the presidential primary. We have overlapping elections as it is. Now, you throw in, if we were to support or run elections for the special districts on top of that, or throw in the possibility of recall elections or other special elections that occur along the way, the bandwidth just isn't there. And so by moving special districts to the odd year, that opens the door that we can support the special districts in their needs. And I'm expecting that there may be legislation to allow them to go November instead of May, but that's I'm just guessing what's coming down the pike.
Well, and once again, that would really simplify people's lives as well to make sure that their voices are heard. Let's go to break, Merlin Klotz. When we come back, after going out and going through the election division and you showed me exactly what happened to a ballot, it makes me feel really good that our elections are secure. But I'd like you to explain that to our listeners. So this is Kim Munson. This is the Kim Munson Show. We'll be right back.
Award-winning realtor Karen Levine has 30 years of experience with RE/MAX Alliance. As a director with the National Association of Realtors, Karen Levine works to protect private property rights. Karen Levine believes in homeownership. Because of Karen's love of dogs, Karen volunteers with GRR, Golden Retriever Rescue of the Rockies, helping golden retrievers find their forever homes. Choose Karen Levine to buy or sell your home because she understands that it's more than just a house. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance today at 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516.
You only have a few days left for three scary movies under the stars. The 88 Drive-In Theater will close for the season Thursday, October 24th. So get there now. Open Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and Thursday. See an independent film that takes place in a drive-in theater. 47 hours, rated R, followed by Joker and Rambo Last Blood. Admission is only $9 per person and includes all three features. Get directions now at 88drivein.net.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson and thrilled to be talking with Merlin Klotz. He is the Douglas County Clerk and Recorder. And Steve, you and I are listening to Susan Kochevar, 88 Drive-In Theater, and they're going to be closing for the season on the 24th of October. And so I guess winter is coming. But it looks like for people that like Halloween and scary movies, that 88 Drive-In is the place to be. So, hey, Merlin Klotz, something that isn't scary is, I think, how the integrity of our elections from making sure our ballots count. Now, I did mention that I really think it's important that people understand the issues and do their research. They don't just vote blindly. And that is your responsibility as an individual for election integrity. But Merlin Klotz, after what I saw out at the Douglas County Elections Division, it's pretty amazing. So let's just assure people what happens to their ballot once they drop it in the mail.
Okay, first, I would like to suggest that any of your listeners go to douglasvotes.com and watch a little video there called Life of a Ballot. And it shows the processes in detail. Through the whole process, it is disaffiliated, how do I want to say this, a Democrat and a Republican or an unaffiliated and a Democrat or a Republican are handling that ballot through the whole process, from picking them up at the ballot at the drop boxes on through the process to the whole opening and all the internal processes.
Oh, so just clarifying, there's at least two people that have their eyes on this process, is that right?
Two people escorting the ballot. If they've emptied the ballot boxes, the drop boxes, there's a Democrat and a Republican typically, and they drop them into a bag, they log the bag, they bring the bag in, hand it off to another mixed party team. So their whole process, it is a mixed party team is escorting that ballot through the process.
Okay, Merlin, just a question. You hear about bags being found in the trunks of cars in some of the other states, and you know, after an election's been decided with ballots that go one way or another. How does that happen?
Well, I can't speak for other states, but I know in Colorado it is tight, and all counties follow the same processes.
Okay.
We've got 27 cameras in the building, and we have to keep all that video on file for 25 months so it can go back and be looked at. When ballots come in, they're way counted. to get a good estimate of how many are coming in each batch, and those are tied out then to the axles when they go through the sorter. When they go through the sorter, the first thing that happens is in that sorter takes a picture of the signature, and it checks with the central state registration database, and it gives voter credit there. So that if by chance someone ran over to Elbert County and tried to register and vote over there, it would check that same database, and it says, this guy's already voted, send this one to the DA. The processes are tight to the whole, from top to bottom.
Talk to us about the signature verification. I found that fascinating.
Okay. Colorado uses a signature verification, and when the ballot comes in, it goes through the sorter, and the sorter does a variety of things, including taking a picture of the signature. It doesn't open them at that point. It takes a picture of the signature, and it checks to see the thickness, to see if there's no ballot in, if there's a missing signature, it does a variety of checks. And then with that picture on file, the signature is then verified against signatures that are in the Secretary of State's database. And typically we think in terms of about 9 signatures deep that may come for your driver's license or various other sources that they have on file. Now, when that signature if they can't verify the signature, then the process is immediately an 8-day cure letter goes out. Now, that 8-day cure means you have until 8 days after Election Day to come in and say, well, I broke my right arm, so I signed it with my left. Explain away what really happened, why that is your signature. If, for example, your story was, well, my daughter was away at college, and so I filled out her ballot and signed it for her, that one, they either don't reply or it goes to the DA, and the fact they didn't reply will go to the DA from further examination. That's a no-no. The signature is really crucial.
Okay.
I know when we first went to the all-mail ballot, there were urban legends about dumpster diving for ballots at apartment complexes.
Right.
Well, if you dumpster dive for a ballot, you better bring back a matching signature and be able to use it.
And that, you know, I think that was one of the things, Merlin, that really gave me some comfort, because I had heard stories about, you know, ballots at, CU or at colleges, you know, that were in the dumpster and that those were getting voted. And so that really was comforting to me that there's significant signature verification. And Merlin, this has gone way too quickly. I am learning so much. We've got probably a couple of minutes. What is the final things you want to make sure that our listeners know about voter or ballot integrity here in Colorado?
Well, I think it's key to know that Colorado is the model, and it's pointed to for other states. There are 3 other states that do the all-mail ballot: Oregon, Washington, and Colorado. And as of first of the year, Utah goes that direction. And California is moving in that direction on a county-by-county basis. They'll eventually be there. But it's those pieces, the central voter registration. We are the leader. Washington has joined us now. This year, they're in the process of converting to that. I can't speak for other states, but other states are being pushed to follow Colorado, and so you can be proud of that. And then some previous secretaries of state have done some very good work in getting us where we are.
Well, and a couple of comments on that. First of all, one of our listeners just texted me and said, James says to say hi, Merlin. So your people out there want to say good morning to you. So the ballot integrity and what you are doing as the Douglas County Clerk and Recorder, and you've assured me that this happens throughout the state, I take great comfort in that. I don't really necessarily like this, everybody gets automatically registered. I think that there is such a responsibility to voting that making this registration so easy, and then people not actually understanding the issues. As you mentioned, that they look at the candy instead of what the real issues are. I have great concern in that. And so many times people are influenced by the candy and they vote the candy. And if everybody has a ballot and they haven't done their research, I'm concerned about that component. But from what you are doing as the clerk and recorder and the other clerk and recorders throughout the state, it looks like you're doing a great job, Merlin.
Well, I have to agree with you on the potential for problems with the that came out of HB 1278 this year, and the automatic voter registration, the opt-out instead of opt-in on when you get your driver's license or get assistance from Human Services. I think that's that there's potential for major problems there, but that's the law we have to work around right now or work with.
So
and we've got substantial increase in our processing that we have to do. I've got, I think you saw in there, I've got 12 people year-round, and a good part of their time is spent just keeping voter reg data current.
And great job on that, Merlin. We are out of time, but check out douglasvotes.com. That's douglasvotes.com. And Merlin Klotz, thank you so much.
Thank you, Kim.
Okay, and George Mason said, nothing so strongly impels a man to regard the interest of his constituents as the certainty of returning to the general mass of the people from whence he was taken, where he must participate in their burdens. So today, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.